Good morning, everybody. So, with that, Rabbi Korobkin graciously made it all the way down to the first two dots on Chavtes Amud Aleph yesterday, which leaves us, correct, it's a long Amud. The next Amud is not too bad, and we've finished a couple of minutes early for the first stuff, so it shouldn't be too bad. Don't ask too many questions, guys. And I won't tell too many stories. So, anyway, just to refresh ourselves about the Mishnah, we're going to be focusing on the second case, meaning the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra and the Chachamim. In general, their machlokes was a stam cherem. Does that go to the Bedek HaBayis, to that fund, or does it go to the Kohanim? And we'll just read through the Mishnah first, because that's, you know, required background here. Says the Mishnah, jumping to the second line of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra Omer. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra is of the opinion, stam cheram le Bedek HaBayis. General charamim go to the Bedek HaBayis. Shenem, Mari brings a pasuk, Kol cherem kodesh kodashim hu la Hashem. Okay, it's kodesh kodashim la Hashem, which means it goes to the Bedek HaBayis, to Hashem, to the Beis HaMikdash. On the other hand, v'chachamim omer chachamim say no, stam charamim la kohanim. They say that a stam cherem would go to the kohanim, shenemar, kisdei hacherem la kohen tiyachuza so, which is something that we quoted earlier in regards to the rules of a steyachuza, which is that it's kisdei hacherem, like the field of acherem, and that means la kohen tiyachuza so. It goes to the kohen. Now, the Mishnah, within the Mishnah, the Chachamim say, Im Kain, Lama Nemar, Kol Cherem Kodesh Kodeshim Hu LaHashem. 1 second. Chachamim, basically, and this is already happening in the Mishnah. We say, Chachamim, what do you do with the other pasuk of Kodesh Kodeshim Hu LaHashem? Doesn't that imply that it would go to the Bedek HaBayis? The Chachamim, no, we use that for something else. We use that to teach you that what? Your Cherem can be Chal on Kodesh Kodeshim and Kodeshim Kalim. Okay, then you can do that. The process of that is a little complicated, as you may have heard yesterday, exactly what that means. We're not going to get into it now, but that is the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra is of the opinion that it goes to the Bedek HaBayis, and Chachamim of the opinion that it goes to the Kohen. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, Omer Stam Charam LeBedek HaBayis, at the two dots, in a few lines down, on Chavtes Amud Aleph. Says the Gemara, V'chule, Bish Lama Rabbanan, Kidikam V'farshi Tamayu V'tayma de Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. This all works out well according to the Chachamim, as they explain not only their pasuk, which they used as a source, but they also explain what they would do with Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra's source. El Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, but what about according to him? Haikistei hacherem my avidle. What does he do with the Chachamim's pasuk, with the Chachamim's source? Says the Gemara, mi bayilei lechidatanya. We need it for the following brisa, and the brisa teaches us an interesting case. What does it mean, kistei hacherem la kohen tiyachuzaso, which is the pasuk, matamud lamar, what does that teach us? Says the Gemara, says the brisa, minayin la kohen chikdish te chermo. What would be the case if a kohen received a sada because someone else was machrim it? Okay, so someone's, I'm machrim a field, any kohanim here? No kohanim. Who wants to be an honorary kohen? Okay. Honorary Kohen is then Makdish the field back. In that case, what's going to happen? Shelo Yomar, he cannot say, Hoel V'yatza LaKohanim V'harei Tachas Yadi. No one redeemed this field until Yovel came, and now this field, as it normally does, will return to the Kohanim. So this Kohen cannot say, right, since it goes out to Kohanim, and it's mine right now, Tehishalit, it should be mine, and the truth is, Dazik Marvit Dinhu. And it makes logical sense. Bishal acherem ani zocheh, if I can get other people's fields, bishal atzmi lo kol shekein, can't I for sure keep my own? Says the Gemara, Talmud lamar kistei acherem lakohen tiyachuza so. And says the Gemara, what does that mean? What does this teach us? Riman lamadnu mistei cherem. What are we learning from these words, mistei cherem, or kistei acherem? Hareze balelameh v'nimta lameh. Notes the Bryce or the Gemara that really, it's a little bit strange, meaning we thought we were coming to learn about a stecherem from this pasuk. It turns out that stecherem is actually going to teach us, these words are going to teach us a rule about this other case of achuza, and that it goes out to the Kohanim at Yovel, and says the Gemara, Maki stecherem o liste achuza shel Yisrael. This compares a stecherem to the steachuza of Yisrael, ma steachuza shel Yisrael, yotze mitachas yadom mischalekes lekohanim, just like a regular case of steachuza which was not redeemed at Yovel, or was redeemed by someone else, at Yovel it will be split up amongst the kohanim, af stecherem o yotze mitachas yadom mischalekes leechav kohanim. So too, a field which he originally received by cherem, which was hukdash, and then again redeemed by someone else, or not redeemed, depending on the opinions that you follow earlier, presumably, so too, in that case, it will be split up amongst the Kohanic brethren, and not simply return to this person because he received it by cherem, you know, 10 years ago. Okay, so this is the conclusion of this braisa, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra would use these words of kisei cherem lakohen tiyachu zasto to teach us this, the law in this case, where if this Kohen who received the field by cherem was makdish it, then it will not return simply to him, it will be split up amongst all the Kohanim. Okay, and that's what he will use this pasuk for. Okay, and what about the Chachamim? Meaning, it's true that both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra at this point have explained what they do with the other person's pasuk. Right? Each of them brought a pasuk to prove why they think a stam cherem is either lakohanim or lebedek habayis, and each of them dealt with the other person's pasuk. But at the end of the day, as the Gemara generally does, now we need to see how do they learn out those same things that the other learned out. So the Gemara says, V'idach, and according to the Chachamim, how will they learn out this ruling of, you know, that the Kohen who is makdish, a field that he received by cherem, that he cannot keep it? Says the Gemara, mecherem hacherem. It's because it could have just said, kisdei cherem. Why did it say kisdei hacherem? It teaches you this ruling that, again, is going to be split up equally. It's a hekesh. V'idach, and what about according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra? Why can't he learn it from Hacherem, v'idacherem, hacherem, lo mashmalei, he doesn't learn from that extra, hey, that wouldn't teach you this whole rule, you need a longer sort of drasha for that. For Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, dechala kachim kadashim v'kachim kalim minale, so ask the Gemara, 1 second. But in the Mishnah, the Chachamim used Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra's pasuk to teach you that it's chal on kachim kadashim and kachim kalim. So how does Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra learn that? Says the Gemara, Savar Leik Rabbi Yishmal. He's going to hold like Rabbi Yishmal in the next Mishnah, who's going to bring his own sources as to when exactly these will apply to Kachay Kadashim and Kachim Kalim. Okay, and we'll see that at the bottom of the Amud. It's not too far away. So in summary, basically, both on behalf of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra and on behalf of the Chachamim, we've managed to not only give a reason, which we already had in the Mishnah, as to why Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra is of the opinion that regular Haramim go to Bedek Abayis, whereas the Chachamim say they go to Kohanim. But we've also used the other sources to learn something else unique out from that, and we've learned how they can learn out the same thing that the other used to learn out from their pasuk, if that makes any sense. Basically, everybody's figured out everybody's sources, in short. Says the Gemara, now we're going to get on to the Halacha. Amar Rav. Rav says, Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. Now this Gemara, if you ever want to teach someone, you know, sort of those basics of psak that we see in the Gemara, this is a great Gemara to teach it to them from. And it's funny because Rav, according to the Gemara, you know, in all the Hava Aminas, gets everything wrong. So first Rav says, Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. What's wrong, guys? What's wrong with passing like Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra? Yachid v'Rav malacha k'Rav. Says the Gemara, what are you talking about? V'Rav shavik Rabbanan v'Avik Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra? Rav's going to, you know, leave hold of the Rabbanan, who are a Rabbim, and a Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra? No way. Says the Gemara, no. Braisa ipchatana. We have a Braisa that says the opposite. Therefore, Rav was Paskining like Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra in our Mishnah, which is really the sheet of the Chachamim in the Braisa. Okay, so again, you know, Psak in the Gemara 101, what's the problem?
We go by a Mishnah,
not a Braisa. What do you mean, in a Braisa it's flipped? Who cares? Says the Gemara, right? Shavik masnisin v'avid kibraisa. Is he really going to leave hold of our Mishnah and Paskin like the Braisa here? No. Okay. Rav masninami ipcha. Says the Gemara, Rav actually learned the Mishnah differently. Now, why might Rav have learned the Mishnah differently? The Gemara's assumption here is because in the Braisa it was changed. So says the Gemara, Tani, my chaz is to apchis masnisin, mikami braisa, nafich braisa, mikami masnisin. The same rule still applies. You don't choose the girsa of the braisa over the girsa of the Mishnah and then say, oh, the Mishnah is wrong, we learned the Mishnah backwards. No, we say the braisa is wrong. Says the Gemara, no. Rav gamre gamre. Rav, you know, learned this up. This was his braisa. He knew this was to be correct. Therefore, that's the way he flipped the Mishnah in this case. Says the Gemara, fine. You know, really all we're doing is playing with smoke and mirrors here, because at the end of the day, Rav still said which words? Halachic Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. So no matter what Rav really holds, that's still going to be problematic. Rav is still paskining like a yachid against the Ravim. So ask the Gemara, how's that going to work? At the end of the day, right? Halachic Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, k'rabanan mi ba'ile. If he really switched it, then he should say, we paskin like the Rabbanan. Why is he saying we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra? Halachic Ka'amar, he's saying, l'may de'af chisu. V'tenisu halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. this, that, either he switched it or everybody else switched it. The point is, he's saying that the halacha is like the opinion that he believes is Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, which is really Rabbanan for us. Okay? Or vice versa, we would say probably actually better, that he's saying, according to you guys, okay, this makes more sense, correct. According to you guys who say that Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says what I think the Chachamim say, then I'll tell you that the halacha is like him because I know the halacha is like my Chachamim. Okay? That's really what he's saying here. Okay.
Say that again.
Good, thank you for stopping me. Okay. Rav was of the opinion that what Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra said was really the Chachamim's opinion.
Okay.
So he's saying, according to you guys who all believe that that's Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra's opinion, that's the way we paskin. Why? Why did he choose that view? Because in his mind, that's the view of the Chachamim.
I know what the halacha is. He's saying it. I know what the halacha is. It's
correct. He's telling us the halacha itself, not whom we follow. Okay? That's a good point. Excellent. Rav is simply saying, here is the halacha, which you ascribe to such and such a view. Okay? But he's simply saying, this is the halacha, and this is what you have to follow. Why does he hold that halacha? Because he believes that that is the opinion of the majority. Thank you. Okay. Here we go. Now we get to a story. Interesting story. How gavra de achrimin hu linichse bepumpedisa. There was this guy who was machrim his nechasim in Pumpedisa. Okay? Someone at the first year suggested that this was Rav's place of leadership. This is not the case. Rav was not the Rosh Hashiva in Pumpedisa.
He didn't give everything, did he?
He gave everything.
You can't. It's possible. Wasn't that in Mishnah on Shabbos?
So most of whatever it is, it's true. He can't. He doesn't say kol nechse, but he seems to be giving, you know, his fields, whatever. It seems to be that he gave his karka, as we're going to see in the Gemara. But it works, okay? Or at least partially works. Anyways, asa l'kamed Rabbi Yehuda. He came in front of Rabbi Yehuda. Amar lein, Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll tell you what to do here. You are machrim, let's say, all your fields, okay? Not all your fields. Again, slightly less than if you want to deal with that Gemara there. Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll tell you what to do. Shkolar ba'azuzi, take four zuz. Okay, so two goats worth. Rabbi Torchiner had mentioned to me once, there was someone in Allentown who went to the Allentown Fair to see how much a goat cost so he could calculate the worth of Zuzim in today's market. I'm not joking. He actually said that. I mean, I'm pretty sure he was serious when he talked about this person. I think he said it was something like $70 for the goat or something. I don't know. Anyways, the point is...
Is this Rabbi Yehuda speaking?
Yes, so Rabbi Yehuda is telling him... So Rabbi Yehuda told him, listen up, shkolar ba Zuzi, take four Zuz, ve'achil alayu... And make a pidyon onto these four zuzi, okay? So you're redeeming, so to say, you know, your field onto these four zuz. Vishadinu benahara vilishdrulach. Then go take them, wind up, and toss them into Lake Ontario, and everything will be good. You'll be off the hook, okay? That will sort of get you away from this cherem. Says the Gemara, Amakasavar. Now we're going back to the first machlok in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra and the Rabbanan. Which we just paskind, Almakasavar, Stam Charamim Lebedek Abayis. We see that he holds. Stam Charam goes to Bedek Abayis like Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. And says the Gemara, where did he get this idea that you can sort of be transfer, you know, what you were Machrim onto these coins? That was Kiman Kishmuel, that followed the opinion of Shmuel. The Amar who says, Hektish Shave Mane, Shechilo al Shave Pruta Michulal. He says, if you were to take Hektish, that's worth one mana, which is a large amount of money. And you were mechalel it on one pruta, okay, on a small, tiny coin, says Shmuel, it works. Now the Gemara is going to say, well, that's very nice that Shmuel says that. Says the Gemara, Emar da'amar Shmuel shechilelo lechatchila mi'amar. Says Shmuel just says that is what happened if you did it. But Shmuel wouldn't say you can do that lechatchila. You're cheating Hektish out of so much money, it's unbelievable. Right? How can we allow you to do that? So says the Gemara, no. It's true, what you were saying, what you'd be saying is correct if the Beis HaMikdash was still standing. Right? Lechatchila miyamar han imili bismach Beis HaMikdash kaim. When would Shmuel say that? When the Beis HaMikdash is standing, the ikap seder, where there's going to be a loss to Hektish. However, aval bizman hazeh, but nowadays, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, and we're not giving this to the Beis HaMikdash, afil lechatchila, you can even lechatchila be, again, be mechalel, you know, a very large amount of money on a very small number of coins. Says the Gemara, fine. I agree to that, but then if so, ihachi afilu prutanami. Why didn't he just tell him, put it on a 5 cents? Why did he tell him on $25? He should give it on the smallest possible amount. Says the Gemara, persume milsa. They were publicizing it again so people would sort of know about this. What? Yeah, but the question is, in the case, why did he? Why was he mechallel it on four zuzi and why not on pruta? The answer is he wanted to make it a public case so everybody would know, right? Okay. Sorry? No. He had a money. Or, I mean, he had kol nechasa for a significant amount of money. He had a very large amount of money, this person in the story. He was mechallel, Rabbi Yehuda made him be mechallel it on four zuz.
Right.
Yes, normally Shmuel says you can take a man and put it on a pruta. We've established that this can apply to our case. So the Gemara then says, why didn't this person use a pruta then? The Gemara answers, because we wanted to make it public. When the guy's doing it for more money, I guess it was public that he's throwing all that amount, right? As I said, you know, when you have these fountains in the shopping malls, you know, people throwing in pennies is one thing, but if someone throws in a $20 bill, other than all the people that will go diving in after it, right? You know, other than all the people that will go diving in after it, you have something that's a bit more bizarre. People will know about it, apparently. So that's what happened here. He says, throw it in. Amar Ula, but Ula, you know, said he was unhappy with this. Ihavai Hasim, he said, if I was there, Havayivna Kulu la Kohanim, I would have given his stuff to the Kohanim. Alma Kasavar Ula, Stam Charamim la Kohanim. So Ula must hold of the Shita of the Chachamim in our Mishnah, Stam Charam, go to Kohanim. Now the Gemara is going to ask a question on this case, which is that really these rules of Charamim should not apply altogether nowadays. And says the Gemara, we're going to go through this list of all these different things that are tied to Yovel. Says the Gemara, Meisvei, we have a question. Ein Eved Ivri Noeg, Elev Isman Shai Yovel Noeg. First of all, the rules of Eved Ivri only apply at the time of Yovel. Shenemar, Achnas HaYovel Ya'avod Imach. Until the year of Yovel, he will work with you. So we see that it is connected to Yovel. The Ein Stei Acherim, really Stei Achuza Noeg, Es Elev Isman Shai Yovel Noeg. Shenemar, V'yatzav BaYovel V'shav LaAchuza So. And Estei Achuza, according to, again, most of the Gersos here, is only something that applies at the times of Yovel, as it says, V'yatzav BaYovel. It's tied to Yovel in a pasuk too. In Batei Arechoma Noeg, in Elev Isman Shai Yovel Noeg. So to Batei Arechoma, which have complicated halachas, which we'll learn about in the near future, Shenemar, Lo Yetzei BaYovel. That too is tied to Yovel in a pasuk. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Omer. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, Ein Stei Charamin Noeg, in Elev Isman Shai Yovel Noeg. That applies even to the rules of Charamin. As it says, Shenemar, Vayas, Devet, Zobay, Yovel, Kodosh, Lashem, Ki, Stei, Acherim. That's also tied to Yovel in a pasuk. Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, we have another case. In Ger Toshav, Noeg, Elab, Isman, Shai, Yovel, Noeg. So to the rules of Ger Toshav, only apply when there's Yovel, which is the only one that doesn't have a pasuk attached that gives us the connection between Yovel and the particular halacha that we're discussing. Amr of Bibi, or Bibi says, My Taima, what's the reason for that? Asya, Tov, Tov. It's a limud. In both places, it says tov. Ksivacha ki tov lo imach. It says here, because it will be good for him with you. Ksivasa, relating to Yovel, batov lo lo tonenu. That's what it says by Yovel. And therefore, again, we have a connection between this particular halachic arena and Yovel. And all of these different items apply only when Yovel is practiced. So if so, says the Gemara, what were we busy dealing with Rabbi Yehuda telling him to be mechallel on money and throw it in the river? It has no meaning. There's no Yovel nowadays. So says the Gemara, Lo Kasha. We can answer that. Habimikarkai, habimitaltali. In regards to the rules of Stei HaCherem, if you look back at the Pasuk, okay, in Stei HaCheremim, when it comes to Karka, that's something that is related to Yovel. So when it comes to Cherems of fields, of land, that's something that is only practiced when Yovel's practiced. However, when it comes to Metaltalin, any regular movable objects, for that, you have charamin that are practiced even when Yovel is not practiced. And therefore, the Gemara is basically answering that in the case of this person who was machrim his nechasem, it means he was machrim some metaltalin. Okay? Whatever it was. I was joking if I would be machrim my recorder. Okay? That's what would happen. YU Torah would be very upset, maybe. Or maybe it is already muhram for YU Torah. I don't know. Either way, that's what would be permitted as a charam nowadays. But karka would not be permitted as a cherem nowadays. It just wouldn't work at all because it's not noeg at all. Says the Gemara, "Vamasa de pumbedisa bim karkai nami hava." Problem, says the Gemara. That's not what the story was. The story was that this guy was machrim his fields. Says the Gemara, "Mekarkai de chutz laaretz ki metalteli de eretz Yisrael dami." Karka and chutz laaretz, you know, has the same status as metaltelin in eretz Yisrael. When we say that it doesn't apply, that these rules don't apply, not at the time of Yovel, it only refers to land in Eretz Yisrael. But land in Chutz La'aretz, it will still apply to. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda was correct in telling him to switch it off onto some money and to toss the money into the sea. And that's the reason for the story. bad for us to know. If any of you take your houses and your machrim them, you will have some sort of question. Although, based on this Gemara, you can be, you know, mechalal it onto a very small sum of money. So I guess you don't have that much to worry about. Anyways, Adkan, this is a machlokas, you know, and all the details that emerge from it between Rabbi Yehuda ben Osera and the Rabbanan as to whether a Stam Cherem goes to Bedek HaBayis or to the Kohanim. Hope that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Besera in our Mishnah, like Rav said. Okay, says the next Mishnah, which is really very connected to the previous Mishnah. In fact, we even mentioned it earlier today in the Gemara. And that is Rabbi Yishmael. Amar Rabbi Yishmael says, Kasuv Echad Omer. He brings a steer between Psukim. If you think of Kol HaBechar, right, which we lean on a number of last days of Yamim Tovim, it says, Asher Yivalei B'Korachav Tzancha Azachar, Taktish L'Hashem Elokecha. You should be Maktish a Bechar. The Kasuv Echad Omer, and another Pasuk says, Ach Bechar Asher Yivikar L'Hashem B'Mal Yaktish Ish Oso. There it says, Lo Yaktish. You should not be Maktish it. One second, are you Maktish a Bechar, or are you not Maktish a Bechar? What's going on? Says the Mishnah, on the one hand, the Efshar Lomar Taktish, you can't say that the halachic ruling should be that you should be Maktish a Bechar, Sharek for Nemar Lo Yaktish, because you have another Pasuk that says Lo Yaktish. On the other hand, the Efshar Lomar Yo Lo Yaktish, Sharek for Nemar Taktish. You can't say that the halachic ruling should be that you're not Maktish it, because the Torah says to be Maktish it. So what's going on? We have two completely contradictory Psukim. One says you should be Maktish a Bechar, whatever that means. The other one says you should not be Maktish a Bechar. So how can we tell you to do either one? So answers Answers Rabbi Yishmael, HaKetzad, how can we do this? Makdisho ata hektish ilui, v'iata makdisho hektish mizbeach. You can be makdish what's called hektish ilui, which means tovas hana'a type hektish. Okay, does anybody remember what tovas hana'a is? Tovas hana'a is the amount that someone would be willing to pay sort of to get their choice here. Okay? That a particular person would be able to receive this korban, this gift. It's more of the details that we saw in yesterday's Mishnah, but that's the general thing. We're not being maktish the actual animal as another type of korban. We're simply saying, you know, this is what someone would want to be able to give it to this person over this person, or to take it for themselves over another kohen, whatever it is. However, but you can't be maktish at hektish mizbeach, where you're going to actually say that, you know, this is an ola if it's already a bechor. That's what Rabbi Yishmael explains, and therefore, again, we see an element of cherem that can apply to bechoros and other such korbanos. That's what we should come up from the Mishnah, but we learn it from this contradiction between taktish and lo yaktish. Okay? Adkan the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, V'rabanan, what about them? They learned it out, as we learned in the previous Mishnah, from kistei hacherem lakointi yachuzaso. I mean, sorry, from kol cherem kodesh kodeshim ulashem. Right? So what did the Rabbanan do with this stira that we have here between taktish and lo yaktish? Says the Gemara, V'rabanan, al taktish mi baile lilav. Okay? The words al taktish teach you that there is actually an avera if someone is maktishit. You get a love. And on the flip side, taktish mi baile lechedetanya, what do they learn from the word taktish? Again, rather than having this contradiction in the Mishnah and resolving it by saying that you're allowed to, you know, to some extent, hektish ilui be maktish korbanos already, but not for other korbanos. So they needed mibayle lechedetanya for another brisa. Minayin lenolad bechor be'edro shem mitzvah lehaktisho shenemar hazakhar taktish l'Hashem Elokecha. Says the brisa, the rules that when a bechor is born, how the chacham says the brisa, we learn that there's a mitzvah for you to go hektish as a bechor. Even though it's already born and it already is a bechor, says this brisa, there is a mitzvah. And that's what the Rabbanan will learn from this. Meaning, from Lo taktish, from lo yaktish, sorry, they will learn the halacha that there's an avera to do, to be maktish it in another way. From taktish, they'll say you're supposed to say that it's a bechor when it's born. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yishmael, why does he disagree? Ilo maktish le lo kadosh? Says Rabbi Yishmael, you can say or not say whatever you want. Fact is, it's a bechor, it was born. And since, you know, even when you're not maktish, it's still going to be holy, there's absolutely no need to do so. And with that, Rabbi Yishmael and also Rabbi Yehuda ben Besera defend their reading of taktish and lo yaktish as to teach you that, again, under certain circumstances, you can be maktish even things that are already korbanos. And on the other hand, the Chachamim learned that there's an avera to be maktish it for something else and a mitzvah to be maktish it for a bechor right when it's born from these same psukim. Hadron alach, hamaktish tadeyu. Any questions before we turn the page? You can go back on anything today. It's all pretty unitized. It's all really Rabbi Yehuda ben Besera and the Rabbanan, except for this last Mishnah. Okay, let's turn the page then. We'll be ahead of time, I think. Hamocher es sadehu bish'as hayovel. Now we get to an interesting case. Rather than talking about hektish and hektish and hektish and hektish, we're talking about sales. Okay, sales also have rules that are delineated in Parshios Bahar B'chukosai, really more Bahar. Says the Mishnah, Hamocher es sadehu bishas hayovel, and bishas hayovel again means at a time when yovel is being practiced, okay, not on during the year of yovel. The Gemara is going to discuss that. Einar mutar ligol pachos mishteishanim. The rule is, if you sold it, you cannot buy it back within 2 years. Shene emar, as the Torah says, b'mispar shenei tivuos yim karlach. It has to be sold for 2 harvestings, okay? Meaning 2 years. 2 years where you're able to harvest the crops. That's what this pasuk means. So now the Mishnah is going to deal with a number of cases where it'll be somewhere, on the one hand, you're going to get your 2 years, but you're not going to get your 2 crops, or actually vice versa. Correct? You're going to see that's Rabbi Eliezer's case. So, says the Mishnah, let's say you had a year where the crops were attacked by all sorts of terrible agricultural diseases. You couldn't get anything out of the field. Okay? Oshnas shvius. Let's say one of them was Shemitah. So does that count as 2 tivuos? Because it's 2 years? Or do we say, no, it actually has to be 2 harvests? Says the Mishnah, those eino ola min haminyan. Those don't count, meaning you actually need the 2 full harvests. So you can have, sometimes the 2 full harvests can take 3 years, sometimes they can take 4 years. So long as you get to 2 harvests, that's what the minimum sale has to be. Before then, the seller cannot come and buy it back.
Why can't you get 2 harvests in 1 year?
What?
Why can't you get 2 harvests in 1 year?
A harvest means like a year full of crops. It's a cycle, correct. Says the Gemara, well, it says the Mishnah, sorry, what about the following case? Nira o hovira. Let's say you just used that year to plow it. You didn't plant anything. You just plowed it that first year. Or you let it lie fallow because you thought that was a good idea for the land. Does that count as a year of tivua? Says the Mishnah, absolutely. Ola lo min haminyan, that counts because he could have planted in that year. He just decided not to for agricultural reasons. That's his own choice. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, what about the flip side case? Rabbi Eliezer says, machra lo lifnei Rosh Hashanah. Let's say he sold him right before Rosh Hashanah, and he hadn't harvested all his produce yet. So now what's going to happen is 2 years later, when he buys it back, the person could have eaten 3 harvests. The one that he had right when he came in, and then the 2 subsequent years, if he would harvest it slightly earlier than this guy would have. So says the Rabbi, says Rabbi Eliezer, Machal lefnei Rosh Hashanah v'imaleya peros, if he sold it for Rosh Hashanah, it's full of peros, harayza ochel meno shalosh tvuos b'shtei shanim, you still get your 2 years, but you can actually eat all 3 years worth of produce because this person didn't harvest it before it got to you. So you can harvest it right when you get it and then harvest it twice more and still sell it back only 2 years later. It doesn't depend on the number of tvuos here. There's a minimum number of harvests, and there's also the minimum number of years. Both of those have to be a minimum of 2. So then, even if you have 2 years, you can't go less than 2 years because you had 2 harvests, and you can't go less than 2 harvests because you had 2 years. Does that make sense? That's basically what we can take out from the Mishnah. Do you have to have a minimum of both 2 harvests and 2 years? Okay. Again, of course, unless you plow it 1 year or whatever. Now, that's what the Mishnah has to say. Hamocher sadehu bishasa yovel. The Gemara is now going to make a diuk in the Mishnah. The Mishnah could have said 2 things. It could have said hamocher sadehu bishasa yovel eino goel pachos mishtei shanim. It could have said you can't redeem it within less than 2 years. However, what did the Mishnah say? Eino goel lo ketani. It didn't say eino goel, ela eino mutar ligol. It says it's not permitted to be goel within 2 years. You cannot buy it back within that point, says the Gemara. Alma kasavar. We see the Mishnah holds isura nami ika. There is also an Isser. Again, we got into a whole long discussion at the first half today relating to Avid Mahani, Avid Lo Mahani. Is it also that it doesn't work, or is it just that you get an Avera? Certainly you get an Avera. Whether it also doesn't work is a good question. That's not what we're discussing here. The point is you will get an Avera if you buy it back within 2 years of your sale in this under these circumstances. And says the Gemara, you know what? Da'afilu karkushe zuzi nami aser. Someone's got a pocket full of change, and they keep on walking by the guy they sold it to, and they go, not quite. I don't think so. But at the end of the day, right here, he's saying, I've got money, I want my field back. That even will get you to be over an Avera. That's how serious this Isser is, because you're not allowed to buy it back in time. Says Igmar, Velomi by a mocher. You know how serious this Avera is? It's not even just the original seller. The Kaiba Aseh, who gets an Aseh, as we read from the Torah in the Mishnah, Dichsiv v'mispar shenei tivuos yim karlach, that he has to sell it for 2 tivuos, ela afilu lokeach nami Kaiba Aseh. Even the buyer will get an Iser Aseh. Why? Deba'inan shanim tikneh vileka. right? Because you need a minimum of 2 years. It says, right, b'mispar shanim achar hayovel tikne. So shanim tikne, the Gemara darshins, is to mean that you have to buy it back, that you have to only sell it back to the person a minimum of 2 years later, because shanim means 2 years. Okay, so we're going to get averos for pretty much everything here. Okay, not a good idea. Just wait the 2 years and you'll avoid all these problems. Says the Gemara. Itmar. We have the following memra. Hamocher sadehu bishnas hayovel. If someone sold his field instead of bishas, now we finally get to bishnas. They sold it on the yovel year. I come to you in the middle of yovel and I say, I've got a great field to sell you. Brooklyn Bridge. What's going to happen? Says the Gemara. There's a reason why I said that, right? Hamocher sadehu bishnas hayovel atzma. If you sell it on the actual year of yovel, Rav Amar Mechura v'yotza. Rav says it's a great deal. You get my field for 1 second, I get your $1 million, and then the field comes back to me. Phenomenal. Okay? And according to Shmuel, Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Eina Mechura kol Iker, nothing happens. The field did not, this sale did not take effect, the field did not transfer hands. My Tama de Shmuel says, Gemara, what's the reason of Shmuel? Kal Vachomer is a Kal Vachomer. Uma Mechura Kvar, Yotza, says Shmuel, well, let's think of a classic case. I sold the field to you 5 years ago. What happens to that field on Yovel? It returns, right? It returns back to me. I sold it 5 years ago, it returns to me. That's a classic Yovel rule. So says Shmuel, that's a field that's already sold. She'ena mechura eino din shelo timacher. So when it comes to a field that I haven't sold yet, obviously I can't sell it. That doesn't make sense. Says the Gemara, ularav lo amrinan kavachomer ki haigavna. What's Rav going to do with this? This kavachomer is bona fide. What Shmuel's saying is a really logical argument. If all the other fields that I sold are going to return to me, how could I possibly sell a field now and expect it to take effect? And not only that, says the Gemara, but in case you were worried if we said this exact type of Kavachomer, we actually have the exact same Kavachomer recorded in a Braisa on another topic. V'atanya, we've learned in a Braisa, Yachol Yimkor Adam Esbito Kishihin Na'ara, in relation to someone being able to sell their daughter. So says the Braisa, one might think that you'd be able to sell your daughter even when she's a Na'ara. Amris Kavachomer, we can say a Kavachomer, and says the Braisa, the exact same Kavachomer. Uma Mechura Kvar Yotza Achshav, if one would have sold their daughter at a younger age, at the age of Na'ara, she would go out. Wouldn't it be the case that you certainly cannot sell her for the first time now? So how would Rav possibly respond to this? We have this exact same Kal Vachomer by in a Braisa. How could Rav possibly write? Says the Gemara, no. Hasam lo hadra mizdabna, hacha hadra mizdabna. Says, well, there's a very big difference. When it comes to someone's daughter, once she reaches that age, she can never be sold again. That's where the buck stops. No more ability to sell her beyond her age. However, says Rav, when it comes to Yovel, next year you can sell the field again. So yeah, you can sell it this year. It's a difference between this Kal Vachomer and that Kal Vachomer. In that Kal Vachomer, there's a finality, so obviously the sale won't work. But here, if next year you can sell it again, so you can sell it this year too, says Rav. Fine. Right? Says the Gemara, Meisvei. We've got another question. Achar hayovel shanim tikne. Again, it's a bit of a change in the order of the words of the psukim, but basically, mispar shanim achar hayovel tikne. This teaches us melame chemochren samoch liyovel. It teaches you that you can buy and sell right after yovel. Muflag min hayovel minayin. How do we know that when it's even further away, let's say 5 years, 10 years down the line after yovel, you can buy and sell? Tamud lamar lefi rov hashanim tarbe mikneso lefi meot hashanim tamit mikneso. Whether it's many years remaining until the next yovel, whether it's very few years remaining until the next yovel. That's what these psukim teach us. Now we get to the fun part. Uvishnas hayovel atzma, and in this brisa, during the year of yovel itself, lo yimkar, you cannot sell it. Ve'im machar, listen carefully, and if you sold it, ein machura, it's not sold. So again, we've got an explicit brisa contradicting Rav. How is Rav going to weasel out of this one? Amar lachar Rav, Rav will tell you, here's how it goes. Eina mechura lemispar shnei tivuos, ava mechura hi v'yotza. What does it mean in that Braisa, Eina Mechura, it's not sold? What the Braisa is talking about, the regular case of selling, meaning it has to be sold in a regular case for how long? For 2 tevuos, for 2 years. This, says Rav, what does it mean, Eina Mechura? It means it's not sold for 2 years because it returns to the owner immediately. However, it is sold for that 1 second and the money will transfer hands. Okay? And that's the way that Rav would read this Braisa. asks the Gemara another question. And this may seem unfounded, but the Gemara is going to bring a brisa to support this. Says the Gemara to Rav, fine. Let's say, you know, we'll give you this, we'll let you go this far. But according to you, says the Gemara, if it's sold, let it sit in the guy's rishus, ad basar yovel, until after yovel, uvasar yovel, and then finally once yovel's over, then the person who purchased it, nechle shnei tibuos, should be able to eat their 2 years of produce. Vini hadri, and then it will return. Why shouldn't that be the case? Now, you're probably all wondering, why should that, yes, be the case? Where have we ever heard of such a thing? And the answer is, Milo Tanya, did we not learn something very similar in a brisa? Which the case was as follows. Let's say whatever it was. I'm not going to talk about a case that was sold a year before. Let's say it was sold 2 years before. And one of them is Shemitah or the Shidaf on Iraq, whatever it was. You've got 1 year left before Yovel now in the sale. So what do you do? Says the brisa. Achla shana achas ifnei Yovel. If you only got 1 year in before Yovel. Mashlimin lo shana acheres achar hayovel. In that case, Yovel, it's true, you can't do anything with it, but after Yovel, you get to take your second year and eat it. Right? You can have your field through Yovel and eat the produce too. Okay? So says the Gemara to Rav, why don't you follow the same model then? If you're saying that the sale is really chal, that the sale really works. So follow through and say that for the 2 years following Yovel, he can eat the produce from the field. That makes sense. Says the Gemara, says on behalf of Rav, no. Hasam nachis la'achila, hachal lo nachis la'achila. Says Rav, there's a difference. In that case of the Brisa, you'd already begun to take ownership and to, you know, to have the purchase take effect and to eat your tevuos prior to Yovel. However, in my case, he says, no one did that before, therefore you don't have the opportunity to continue across Yovel, and therefore you can't eat on the other side. It's only when you've begun to eat beforehand that will say we've got to fill out your 2 years. But when you haven't ever started, we're just going to immediately return if you sell it on the year of Yovel itself. Yes, but that's what we're saying here. It's a chiddush in the Brisa. The Brisa tells us that no, even though for the year of Yovel he doesn't have ownership over it, he gets his second year of Tevuah after Yovel. That's the halacha. That's the halacha. Says the Gemara now. We're going to have Rav Anan, which is what we're going to spend the rest of today on. Very interesting case, which is basically the following. Rav Anan recorded, Amar Rav Anan, Shamis minei demar Shmuel tarati, I heard two things from Shmuel. Chadahach, one I heard was this case. If someone sold the field on Yovel, that Shmuel says it doesn't work. V'idach, and there was another case. Amocher avdo l'oved kochavim. If you sold an eved to a goy, okay? Oh, b'chutzlaretz, or if you sold it even to a Jew in chutzlaretz, yatzel acherus, the eved has to be freed. Right? Because we're stopping him from doing mitzvos by doing this. Says the Gemara, and says Rav Anan, Chada hadra zavini, v'chada lo hadra zavini. One, the sale was valid, and not the sale was invalid. V'lo yadana heimine, and I don't remember which one was the case where the sale was valid, and which one was the case where the sale was invalid. Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, well, nechzi Anan, let's do some detective work. Miditanya, we learned in a brais, miditanya bebraisa, from whom that's what we learned in a brais, hamocher avdo bechutz la'aret yatzalacherus v'tzarech getchich gormirabo sheini. He says, let's look at the case of selling an eved first. It says, if one sold his eved in chutz la'aret, the eved goes free and needs a getchichror from his second master. Now, if I read you that line, and needs a bill of freedom from his second master, what does that tell us? It means the second one was his master. It means the sale was completely 100% bona fide and went through. And simply now the second person has to release this Eved. So says Rav Yosef from this Shmamina, mi dekari le lisheni rabo, from the fact that we're calling the second one his master, and we need to get shechor from him, alma lo hadri zvini. We see that again, this is not something where we returned anything to the person, rather, the lokeach, the purchaser, he's the one who loses out. He not only pays the price, and then afterwards he's got to free the slave. So that must have been the case where, again, the purchaser has to purchase it and then loses out, and not the case of Yovel, whereas in the case of Yovel, the transaction must not have worked at all, which is really in line with what we saw from Shmuel earlier. V'chika amar Shmuel hacha eina mechura, and that which Shmuel says here, eina mechura, what does it mean? It's not sold. It means uma'os chozrin, that the money returns to the person who paid them. When the sale is invalid, as we're going to see, it's not that the buyer gets to keep it as a gift, which is something we'd assume and the Gemara is going to deal with that in a second, but rather the money goes back. The sale for the field on during the year of Yovel is completely 100% not valid, and therefore money stays where it is, field stays where it is. Says the Gemara, V'Ravanan, Braisa L'Shmeli, and Ravanan simply never heard this Braisa, therefore he couldn't answer the question from here. Asks the Gemara, right? Says the Gemara, one second, how do we know that it's actually Ma'os Chozrin, that the money goes back to the, you know, original party who held the money, meaning the buyer who paid the money, but now the sale didn't work, so the money goes back to him. We could ostensibly say that in cases where people should know that a sale can have no validity, that maybe the money is intended as a gift. And what's going to be a comparable case, right? Maybe the money is intended as a gift. Similar to one who decides they want to marry their sister. Marry their sister. What's going on? They go to their sister. And they say, and here's a beautiful diamond ring. Now, everybody knows you can't be Mekadesh your sister. So therefore, in that case, it's a machlokes. And Rav says the money goes back because obviously this, you cannot be Mekadesh your sister. Kiddushin or Natovsin. On the other hand, Shmuel Omer, no, Maos Matana, because someone knows that they can't be Mekadesh or Sifter, obviously they're simply intending in a creative way to give them this gift of a diamond ring. So maybe we would apply Shmuel's ruling there to the case here and say that, well, everyone knows you can't sell a field on Yovel. Obviously the person's trying to give me the $1 million in exchange for my field, of course. No, they're trying to give me a gift. Maybe that's the case. So says the Gemara, Amar le Abaye, Rabbi Yosef, Abaye said to Rabbi Yosef, my chazis tikansina leila lokeach niknase lemocher. He says, so why are you knassing the buyer? Knass the seller. Make the seller, you know, sort of lose the money. Don't take the money away from the buyer. Amar le, he said back to him, lav achparaganav elachoraganav. He says, and we won't make too many guns kill people. People kill people. We don't have to get into that. But, says the Gemara, it's not the mouse that stole it, it's the hole that stole it. Meaning, if not for the fact that the buyer was willing to buy, the seller would never have been able to do this Avera. So therefore, we're going to blame it on whom? The buyer. Because if not for him, there would never have been a sale. Says Abaye back to him, right? Says Abaye back to him, Ilav achbarach araminale. It's true that it goes that way, but it also goes the other way. Says, right, you know, if there's just because there's a hole in the house doesn't mean the mouse is able to run away into it. You know, if the guy wasn't offering it to sell it, then there wouldn't be an avira either. So says the Gemara, Mistavra, Hechadi Isal Isura Kansinan. He says, it turns out that wherever the Isra is being done, that's where we knas. Meaning, when someone is doing something against the halacha, like having their slave in Chutz La'aretz, that's the place where the person is going to lose, meaning the buyer is always going to be the loser in these cases, and that's what's going to come out between the Machlokas and Rav and Shmuel. Rav will say the purchase goes through, and then immediately returns. Shmuel will say the purchase is invalid and everybody keeps what they started with.